Quinn and Byerly had never met face to face alone, but Visorphone was pretty close to it. In fact, accepted literally, perhaps the phrase was accurate, even if to each the other were merely the light and dark pattern of a bank of photocells. It was Quinn who had initiated the call. It was Quinn who spoke first, and without particular ceremony. "Thought you would like to know, Byerly, that I intend to make public the fact that you're wearing a protective shield against Pennet radiation." "That's so. In that case, you've probably already made it public. I have a notion our enterprising press representatives have been tapping my various communication lines for quite a while. I know they have my office lines full of holes, which is why I've dug in at my home these last weeks." Byerly was friendly, almost chatty. Quinn's lips tightened slightly. "This call is shielded. Thoroughly. I'm making it at a certain personal risk."
"So I should imagine.
Nobody knows you're behind this campaign. At least nobody knows it officially. Nobody doesn't know it unofficially. I wouldn't worry. So I wear a protective shield. I suppose you found that out when your puppy dog's Pennet radiation photograph the other day turned out to be overexposed. You realize, Byerly, that it would be pretty obvious to everyone that you don't dare face X-ray analysis. Also, that you or your men attempted illegal invasion of my rights of privacy. The devil they'll care for that."
"They might.
It's rather symbolic of our two campaigns, isn't it? You have little concern with the rights of the individual citizen. I have great concern. I will not submit to X-ray analysis because I wish to maintain my rights on principle, just as I'll maintain the rights of others when elected." "That will no doubt make a very interesting speech, but no one will believe you. A little too high-sounding to be true."
"Another thing."
A sudden, crisp change. "The personnel in your home was not complete the other night."
"In what way?"
"According to the report," he shuffled papers before him that were just within the range of vision of the visiplate, "there was one person missing. A cripple."
"As you say," said Byerly, tonelessly. "A cripple. My old teacher, who lives with me and who is now in the country, and has been for 2 months. A much-needed rest is the usual expression applied in the case. He has your permission."
"Your teacher? A scientist of sorts?"
"A lawyer once, before he was a cripple.
He has a government license as a research biophysicist with a laboratory of his own, and a complete description of the work he's doing filed with the proper authorities, to whom I can refer you. The work is minor, but is a harmless and engaging hobby for a poor cripple. I am being as helpful as I can, you see."
"I see.
And what does this teacher know about robot manufacture?"
"I couldn't judge the extent of his knowledge in a field with which I am unacquainted.
He wouldn't have access to positronic brains."
"Ask your friends at U.S. Robots. They'd be the ones to know."
"I'll put it shortly, Byerly. Your crippled teacher is the real Stephen Byerly. You are his robot creation. We can prove it. It was he who was in the automobile accident, not you. There will be ways of checking the records."
"Really?
Do so, then. My best wishes. And we can search your so-called teacher's country place and see what we can find there."
"Well, not quite, Quinn." Byerly smiled broadly. "Unfortunately for you, my so-called teacher is a sick man. His country place is his place of rest. His right of privacy as a citizen of adult responsibility is naturally even stronger under the circumstances. You won't be able to obtain a warrant to enter his grounds without showing just cause. However, I'd be the last to prevent you from trying."
There was a pause of moderate length, and then Quinn leaned forward so that his imaged face expanded and the fine lines on his forehead were visible.
"Byerly, why do you carry on?"
You can't be elected.
Can't I?
Do you think you can? Do you suppose that your failure to make any attempt to disprove the robot charge, when you could easily, by breaking one of the three laws, does anything but convince the people that you are a robot?
All I see so far is that from being a rather vaguely known but still largely obscure metropolitan lawyer, I have now become a world figure. You're a good publicist. But you are a robot.
So it's been said, but not proven.
It's been proven sufficiently for the electorate.
Then relax. You've won.
Goodbye, said Quinn with his first touch of viciousness, and the visor phone slammed off.
Goodbye, said Byerly imperturbably to the blank plate.
Byerly brought his teacher back the week before election. The air car dropped quickly in an obscure part of the city.
You'll stay here till after election, Byerly told him. It would be better to have you out of the way if things take a bad turn.
The hoarse voice that twisted painfully out of John's crooked mouth might have had accents of concern in it.
There's danger of violence?
The fundamentalists threaten it, so I suppose there is, in a theoretical sense. But I really don't expect it. The fundies have no real power. They're just the continuous irritant factor that might stir up a riot after a while.
You don't mind staying here?
Please. I won't be myself if I have to worry about you.
Oh, I'll stay. You still think it will go well?
I'm sure of it. No one bothered you at the place?
No one. I'm certain.
And your part went well?
Well enough. There'll be no trouble there.
Then take care of yourself. And watch the televisor tomorrow, John. Byerly pressed the gnarled hand that rested on his.